welcome to the Capital Coffee Connection. I am Liz Hirschnoff-Tolley, and today we have a very special guest, Republican Mayor from Rochester Hills, Michigan, and he is a five-time mayor, and we are going to get to know what it's like to be a mayor and what he does. But really, today I'm excited because we're going to talk about what it means to work together and not to be divided, but rather to be united. And so that is the purpose of this podcast, which is to really show our strength as we work together, but also for us to highlight different leaders in our country who are doing remarkable work that are meant to help people. So today we are going to really just get down to business and start to talk about what it is that Mayor Barnett does each and every day. And one of the things that I thought about Mayor Barnett when I was looking at all the work you've done in your city is when I was growing up, and I grew up in Los Angeles, it was a big city, and my parents and grandparents would take us on the weekends to so many different things and activities and parks. And I saw what you have done, and I'm not going to give it away because I'd love for you to talk about the Innovation Hills, but that you really put it all together there for the people in your community, children, adults, for everybody. And I would love for us to just sort of take a moment because I think that's what a city is really supposed to be about, bringing people together. And I know that that has been something you're very proud of and worked hard on. So it's a way to introduce you. I want to come to your city and come and see Innovative Hills and learn much more about it, but it looks phenomenal. So welcome, and thank you for taking some time to speak with us today.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege to be on your program. Your past list of folks you've had on is exceptional and really a lot of great learning in some of those previous podcasts. I hope I can keep the bar high. But in your intro, and I'll share a story with you that maybe it's a similarity. You mentioned the role of your parents and grandparents. The first person in my family to ever run for political office. I don't come from a political family or really a tremendous amount of political engagement. However, my parents, my father, who's passed since, but was a firefighter, my mom, a school teacher, taught me the importance of being involved in community. So like you, they took me to every event that happened at the library, every event that happened at the community center. We went to the parks on a regular basis, and I learned how important community was to me growing up. And community meant just being involved with other people, seeing through their faces, and just being engaged around where you live. And that is really what inspired me to get involved in public service, was that desire to be a part of my community. And that has since really transformed my personal and professional life. You mentioned our park. Let me set the stage in Rochester Hills first. We're a community of about 80,000 people. We're about half an hour north of the city of Detroit, a very vibrant community, home to, as you can see over my shoulder, Oakland University, my alma mater, made a lot of news in the NCAA tournament. But we have a lot of great companies. They're surrounded by the auto industry, more robots made in our city than any other city in America, actually. And my job as mayor in this very interesting, vibrant, diverse, and community that loves education is to try to create those memories and those places where people want to connect. I always tell people we're in this very difficult job of owning the 3 seconds in your mind after you say the name of your city. So if I say Los Angeles, immediately think of something. Right. I say Houston or Detroit. I say Rochester Hills. I want that impression to be positive. I want it to be, I want to be there. I want to go there. I've heard good things. And Innovation Hills has been one of the ways we've done that in creating the state-of-the-art, innovative playground. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it, but it is completely unique. It has all glow-in-the-dark sidewalks, has all sorts of crazy, sustainable aspects to the whole park, and it's become Michigan's number one playground the 2 years it's been open, both years.
That's amazing. And I think that also one of the pieces that I learned, you know, you were the mayor during COVID. You were very much motivating people to get out when it was safe, but to get out and come to this park and come out and be together in a safe environment, as opposed to many folks that stayed home entrenched and were lonely. Could you talk a little bit about how you understood that that was a process as a mayor of bringing people together that was actually good for the mental health and for the physical condition of the people living in Rochester Hills?
Yeah, well, we knew that that was true even before COVID. We have a very active community that likes to be outside, and we have a lot of really natural beauty here. But it was so pronounced in COVID, and you felt it. You know, I felt it myself. I'm sure you felt it as well. After a couple of days and even weeks of being inside, you just wanted to be able to be out. And so we really prioritized that. We have a goal in this city. We try to make it understandable to everyone. We never want you to be more than a 7-minute walk from a city park and 70 feet from the shade of a tree. So it takes sort of this, you know, this sort of big crazy thing about, you know, how we kind of create these places and makes it really understandable. Like I said, if you're in our community, we want you to be no more than 7 minutes from a park and 70 feet from a tree. And that gives us goals as we plan, gives us goals as we kind of look at our community, our 36 square miles, and try to figure out where we want things to be and how we want to prioritize our dollars. And that, I think that focus on parks and placemaking has really separated us from a lot of the other communities around Southeast Michigan.
Talk for a moment about just the nature of everyone working together, that this isn't about left, right, Republican, Democrat, but that it's really just about everybody working, not only supporting you as a mayor, but you working with everybody on both sides, because it's really not about what party you're affiliated with. It's really about the community that you're a part of.
I love my job. I think I have the best job in the world. And not a lot of people in the political arena say that.
Right.
I think greatest parts about my job is that it is nonpartisan. You introduced me as a Republican, and some people who know me would know that I tend to vote that way. But most of my residents don't know me. They know me as the mayor. They know me as hopefully a problem solver. They know me as hopefully a leader, a visionary leader, someone that cares about our community and is trying to create the best experience for our residents, guests, and families. I've been doing this for a long time. I've led under Republican presidents and Democratic presidents, Republican governors and Democratic governors. And I want all of them to be successful, because the more successful they are, the better it is for my community. I have stolen some of the best ideas that I've implemented in my city from Democratic colleagues and some from Republicans. Hopefully they could say the same thing. I really enjoy being a mayor because it is not a partisan field. And most of my colleagues, and I have an extensive network of mayoral colleagues. In fact, today I've talked about 8 different mayors from about 5 right. different states today. And it's just a great group of people that understands at the local level, people don't necessarily care about how you pontificate about some perfected piece. You really have to get something done. And that's the beauty about being a mayor in a nonpartisan world. You have to work together.
Right. No, I think that's a very important thing for people to hear. Because again, part of what we're trying to do is show that there's a character, there's a real person. You're not a cutout. You're not just somebody that gets plugged in and does your job. You really bring your heart and your humanity to the work each and every day. Having said that, and you talked a little bit about your parents, what was it like to, obviously they took you places, but what was it like living back in the day? What was it like growing up, and what was school like, and what was it that you were passionate about as a young person?
Well, you mentioned, I'll just, before I answer that you have to get things done. I always tell people, and this is a very real fact for me, City Hall is in the center of my community, like the geographic center. And so I am never more than about 4 miles from every resident in my city. So if somebody has an issue or a problem, I'm a 5-minute drive, 10-minute drive for most of them. And so it doesn't allow you to sort of hide behind things. You really have to be able to work together with other folks
right.
and get things done. Now, I had a great childhood. I am the oldest of 4, grew up in a city not far from here called West Bloomfield. We literally had a picket fence and a golden retriever. It was great until my senior year of high school. My father, as I mentioned, a firefighter, contracted lung cancer. No history of cancer in our family, never smoked, and passed away when I was 17. And that really changed my life. It grounded me to make sure I stayed home for college because I was going into college in the fall. I wanted to still be a big brother to my 3 younger siblings. As I said, that idea of community and giving back and being engaged was really lit by a mom and a dad who were incredibly involved in their community and taught me the same. I have a brother who also is a mayor. He's the mayor of the city next to mine. And we work together on things all the time. And people always ask us, you know, so how many other people in your family are elected? And we're the first 2 raised by 2 parents that taught us about the value and the joy of being involved in community service. And I'm really grateful for that. I have 2 boys now that are just launched into college. One is a sophomore at Michigan State. One is a freshman at Oakland University, where I went.
Right.
And I hope they've seen the same thing. When I became mayor, they were 2 and 1. They couldn't walk. And this last year, they both were able to vote for me. So it's been a long journey with them, hopefully seeing the value and what you can do if you get involved in your community.
I'm assuming they've come with you to a lot of things. And what do you think has been the benefit for obviously spending time with them? But what have they gotten to see about community? Because we can tell people, we can tell our kids, but if they see us in action, that actually I think is a better indicator of what they're going to do.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you what I hope. I mean, first of all, they're both really great young men. I mean, they have done far better than I could have hoped. I hope they've seen, you know, what a commitment to community looks like, what working together looks like. My city is very purple. And to be elected specifically as a write-in candidate, you really have to be productive. You have to show people that effort to elect someone who's not even on the ballot. So you have to work with everybody, regardless of their political beliefs, their religious beliefs, their socioeconomic status. I think I've hopefully have shown them that there's tremendous value in that, not for a political gain, but for the purposes of creating a better community that people feel connected to. So while neither of them have suggested they're going to get into public service, I can tell that it's not far from them, that they do love being involved, they do love being engaged, and they do like being a part of the group of people that can make a difference. I've seen that in their teams that they play for and the activities that they've chosen to get involved in their universities.
So in addition to your two boys, I know you have a friend with you there in the room, and that's Bendel. And Bendel is part of the family, I assume, here.
Bendel is the city dog. Bendel is with me almost all the time. She is an official greeter and is a rescue dog and is part of the support team here. I would tell you, I'm still blessed to have my mom and grandma in the community. I'm the mayor of the city. My grandma is the mayor of the family. So she really remains the optimal voice when it comes to decision making in our family. But we have a great team, and Bendel's a big part of it.
And does your grandmother have advice that she gives out as a grandmother or as a matriarch in the family?
She does. She has a lot of great advice, and I listen to most of it. The only parts that I don't listen to, she somehow occasionally gets online and sometimes will read the comments in a Nextdoor app or in a Facebook post. She'll say, Brian, you need to get on there and respond to all those people who have it wrong. And I just say, Grandma, you know, you need to not get so deep into the weeds there. Not everybody agrees with me or agrees with the decision, but she always has my back. She's a fierce supporter of our family and our community, and I'm really blessed to as a matter of fact. It's an honor to still have such a close-knit family.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. And yeah, it's really hard when you love somebody to read bad reviews, especially when they're in the public. And people are generally can be a little bit cruel when they don't have to say it face to face. So I can understand how hard it is for her to hear something about her grandson.
It's true. And it's always a little bit more pronounced in election season as we're heading into, although not my election, into a national election. It's the thing I like least about it. Someone asked me in a recent interview, what's the thing that keeps you up at night the most? To me, it's not our budget. It's not public safety here in our community. To me, it's the public rancor that happens in a national election when everything is so demonized. There's just so much vitriol. It seeps down. And I abhor that. I really do, because I think that's the people in my community. The people in my community are good people. They care about each other. See things advance. The last question they ask you is, what's your partisan background? They might ask what neighborhood you live in or what school do your kids go to. But they care about the same things, and we're all, you know, sort of all pulling in the same direction. But if you watch Fox or CNN, you'd never know that. And that's the part that frustrates me.
I'm with you on that. The need to bring us to be more divisive is very much part of media. You are born and raised in Michigan. What makes Michiganders special, unique, and again, not about how they vote or what religion they are, but as characters?
We recognize we're blessed. We have a beautiful state. You're never more than, you know, a 20-minute drive from a beautiful lake and not much farther from a great lake. I think we're sort of a gritty people. Like, we've, you know, our state has gone through a lot. We put the world on wheels. You know, we understand the value of a hard work and a work week and what that means. Now we've transitioned to sort of the next economy. And so you have a lot of engineering sort of mentality in Michiganders. They like to figure things out and figure out how to make things better. And as you've seen, if you're a sports fan, I mean, grit is kind of, you know, the Lions had a great year this year. Grit was their mentality. We're not the showboat, flashy, maybe LA style or Miami style. But man, you want to get something done, you get a Michigander involved and they're going to figure it out, maybe even figure out a better way to do it and not stop until it's done. And it's fun to live with people like
that. It's wonderful. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you a bunch of rapid questions for people just to get to know you. And you can answer with one word or however you feel, but they're just hopefully a nice way for people to get to know your character. The first one is, what is your favorite sound?
It's a good one. Ocean waves.
Yeah. And you have lakes, but they have waves too, I assume.
Just being by the water is fantastic. Very healing for me.
Yeah. And what is your favorite color?
Aquamarine blue. The Caribbean water, my favorite mental color if I close my eyes.
I love it. And okay, this is probably going to be in the same way. What is your favorite smell?
Oh, I'm going to go in a different direction here. I love a good pizza. I smell it pretty far away. I love
pizza. What's on the pizza that's your favorite smell?
I'm pretty straightforward. I mean, I like a pepperoni pizza. I'm a meat lover kind of guy. So you can't go wrong with any of the meats. Occasionally, if I'm a little saucy, maybe pineapple. But keep the vegetables and anchovies off. Give me meat and pizza, and I'm happy.
So one of my questions that I've asked people is, like, if you were stranded on a desert island, you had one meal, yours would be pizza.
It would be, yes, it would be pizza. Definitely.
Yeah. And of course, you could be on this island and order whatever pizza you want. So you're safe.
It'd be Antonio, specifically from Rochester Hills, which is my favorite. So
what's it called?
Antonio's Town Square Pizza is my favorite.
Okay. Shout out for Antonio's there. Do you have time to exercise? Do you have time to do things in your parks physically without, you know, running around having people ask you for things?
I do. I actually run with Bendel occasionally. I do. I have a bike, and I like to bike when the weather gets a little bit better. I do things with my earbuds in because I like to unplug, and it, generally I'll get stopped a lot if I don't.
What kind of music do you listen to? What's on your playlist these days?
I always kind of joke, if someone were to pick up my phone and listen to my playlist, they'd probably think I'm like a 17-year-old girl. I'm listening to top 40 stuff, Taylor Swift, and all sorts of kind of, you know, poppy music. But country, if I'm chilling, you can't be from Michigan and not love a little Motown as well.
Yeah.
Some great folks in Eminem and Kid Rock that are always, you know, classics. You can't go anywhere without hearing them.
Right.
So I'm pretty much a homeboy with that stuff. I like Michigan music, and country is my other favorite.
Very nice. And do you have time? Do you read? Do you have a favorite book that you've read lately that you could share with everyone?
I'm old school in that I still read the newspaper every day because I feel that it connects me in a way that it does. Most of my staff, you know, I'll read everything on their phones. I still ask for the newspaper every morning and read it every day just because I feel it connects me in a different way. And there's almost not a single day goes by that I'm not connected by something in a story. And then doing some follow-up on it might be a thank you. All right. Hundreds of thank you notes and congratulation notes right. Every month, probably. So I see people that have done things, people that have celebrated something, people that are going through a hard time. And I like to encourage. I learned that from my mom. In terms of books, I read a lot of sports books. I read a lot of books that people sort of give me. I have over my shoulder, I have a lot of books that other mayors have written. Your former mayor, Mayor Garcetti, has a book over my shoulder that that I've read. There's lots of friends that have created books that I read as well. I don't read as much as I should. I'm not going to try to.
Yeah, well, I think you're kind of busy. What would you say your superpower is?
Well, that's a tough question. I love people. I really enjoy being with people. And I think if someone else were to say what my superpower is, I think they would say that I'm good with people, that people trust me relatively quickly. Hopefully I earn that trust and that I genuinely care about people. I was blessed to be elected by the mayors of the United States to be the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
Right.
And it's a tremendous honor. It's the pinnacle of my profession. And as a smaller city, where most of the cities are larger, many of them led by Democrats, to be a smaller Republican suburban mayor is very unusual. The only way that you do that, because we don't have an NFL team, an airport, or anything like that, is you genuinely care about people and people know that you have their interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way that I would have ever achieved that position, that level of success in my career. And it's true. I genuinely care about people and find opportunities to help them personally very fulfilling. And I hope that what other people would say is my superpower.
No, it's a lovely answer. Thank you. I know as a mayor and being the leader of the Mayor's Association, you traveled a lot internationally because I understand that's part of your role. But is there a place in the world that you haven't been that you would really love to go?
And I love that question because I do love travel. If you could see around the part of the office that you can't see, it's filled with maps, many of them with places that I've been. Where haven't I been? I have not been to Australia and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And though that's a section of the world I'd love to color in. Fascinated when I was in high school and grade school, if I had ever did a country report, it was always on Australia or New Zealand, and my travels just haven't taken me there yet, but I hope that they will soon.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll get down under soon. It'll be great. At the end of a frustrating day, what do you do to disconnect? What do you do that gets you just to get out of that space and get back within yourself?
Yeah, I usually get outside. It is usually on my bike. You know, I am sort of always working because as I'm riding my bike, I'm looking at the condition of the street and traffic and new restaurants, and if some place is busy and if some place isn't. But for me, I really care about what I do. I want to be the best possible mayor I can be. And for me, that means I'm always trying to make improvements. So I don't sit still very well. So a treadmill is not great for me. Occasionally you have to do it, but I love just being outside and being around people. And so it is very rewarding for me. I do love sports. Occasionally, when I first became mayor, I thought, man, I'm going to be able to golf all the time. That never really quite materialized. I golf probably 5 or 6 times a year, usually in outings. But that's something that I enjoy too. And it is really important if you're in leadership to be able to find some time to disconnect. And that doesn't mean with your phone in your hand. It means completely plugging and enjoying, you know, nature and whatever it is that recharges you on the inside.
So I'm just curious, what lake is closest to Rochester Hills? Like, where would you go if you were going to the lake?
My favorite place is to go across the state over to Lake Michigan. That's absolutely stunning. We have many summers spent at Grand Haven on the Lake Michigan side. Closest lake to me is Lake Huron and ultimately Lake St. Clair, which is kind of between those two. And that's about a 25-minute drive from where I'm at. Everybody here has somebody who has a nice boat. And so, you know, in the summer, you never want to be the one with the boat. You want to be the person that knows the person with the boat. That's right. The position to be in here. And my brother has a boat. It's fantastic. And we have a lot of fun in the summer on the lake.
And the boys come with you, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, now they work a little bit here and there. But yeah, no, everybody loves summertime in Michigan. The weather's perfect. And you know, like I said, we're blessed with an abundance of outdoor resources. And so it's a great time. I leave the state in the winter a lot to travel to different things. But in the summer, you never want to leave Michigan because it's literally just about perfect.
Yeah. You know, I interviewed another leader in Michigan, and she said that even winter she loves just to sit outside on her porch covered with a blanket. And even though it's freezing cold, she just loves being outdoors, even in the winter. And for her, that's like perfect time, like completely piled with blankets and hats, but just enjoying the air. So I think the people that I know in Michigan share a very beautiful love for their nature and for the outdoors, both in summer and in winter, which is beautiful because you guys have cold winters.
Yeah, you know, this year we only had snow 3 times,
wow.
Which I think climate change is being evidenced, you know, even here. We don't have some of the extremes of fires or floods or you know, hurricanes, things of that nature, which is also a nice benefit. But it's chilly, it's cold. But I mean, the spring is gorgeous, the falls are gorgeous, and the summers, I mean, you know, you go 120 days and it doesn't get below 60 or above 80. You know, it's really pretty nice, very, very pleasant. We don't have 110 degree temperature. So I'm a big fan. I think the more people that experience it come to Rochester Hills or Northern Michigan, they right. fall in love pretty quick.
Yeah. So this is the last question that I've asked all the leaders, and the answers have been beautiful and very different. And that's a question about joy. What is joy to you? What brings you joy? And if you are joyful, and joyful as a mayor, joyful as a person, how do you spread that joy and that actually makes other people feel good and gives them an energy and an inspiration in their lives?
I love that question. I love that word. I hope if someone describes me after I'm gone, they would say that I was a joyful person, that I always consider myself incredibly optimistic. I do feel like I have the best job in the world. And literally every day I wake up going, I can't believe I get to do this. Like I really feel, even after almost 18 years of being the mayor of Rochester Hills, every day I wake up absolutely enthused to sit behind this desk and to make a difference. What's joy for me? I have a vivid picture of joy this past weekend. I went to the Oakland University game in the NCAA tournament and sat next to my son, and we cheered them on like crazy. And we were a massive underdog, and we just jumped and hugged and high-fived with people we didn't know. And there was so much joy about being a part of Oakland University community in my city and watching him enjoy it. He's a student there. That makes me happy. I find joy almost every day in the blessing of being able to help people that either can't help themselves or don't have the connections to do it. That's my job as mayor. And as long as I'm blessed to sit here, I know that I'll be able to find joy every single day in this job.
Well, first, thank you, because I think that is really what it is. Like, to think about an elected leader who finds joy in their work, because not all find joy, some just do it, but to hear that you find joy and to share it, and also for you to be in a place where you have relationships with most of the people, or they can have a relationship with you that you serve, it is quite special. And I think that is a benefit of living in a small city in America. And one of the things that, you know, I wanted to just end on is that I know that your city has been ranked as one of the happiest places to live, one of the safest places to live. It now, I would rank it as one of the more joyful places to live. And I just want to say thank you. I mean, the idea that you started with about that you want to make sure that people are within a 7-minute walk to a park, within 70 feet, if I remember correctly, of a tree. I mean, those are like the most basic things that you would think, but I don't think everyone understands that that is something that is quite special and that it's something that is important to you. And I go back to the first thing you said, which was that you want, after somebody says Rochester Hills, to be able to like go say a few good words about it, because after there is a soundbite, people are like moving on. So I just think that one of the things that I can say is that you are a pleasure to speak with, and Rochester Hills sounds like a very joyful and wonderful city to live in. So I want to say thank you for spending time here, and I look forward to people just getting to know you as I have in this interview. So thank you for being with me.
Well, Liz, it's been an honor and a privilege to have a few minutes of your time. And like I said, I hope others, if they're watching, listening, there is joy in public service, especially at the local level. If you enjoy helping people, I think there's really no better field to get in and make a difference. And I don't care what the pundits say, you can help people make a difference and feel good every single night you go home if you get involved in local government. So that's my final pitch. And like I said, I enjoy it every single day. And some of it's getting to meet great people like you that are spreading the joy in your realm and your field as well. So thanks for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Hi, it's Liz. Please join me every Tuesday for coffee to talk about heart and humanity with our elected leaders. Ciao.